12:35, Melissa, I'm like, you should be so proud of you. I feel like you've been on it.
Thanks so much. I felt like that the last 24 hours.
No, it really feels like a couple days. Like you on it. You're prompt.
Thanks.
Your confidence is not false.
Wait, it's so funny you say this. We'll do the good morning besties and then jump in and whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Because we have those.
Yeah. Okay, go.
All right. Hello, my beautiful bestie. How are you doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. I'm so happy that we're officially pressing start on this conversation because it's really good and we want to loop everybody in.
I feel like I'm not even going to edit the first part out. I'm just going to like just bring everyone along the process.
We wanted to do like a soft open. Is this what people are talking about?
I guess. It feels it. Okay. No, it's so funny you say that about me being prompt because so Mike does this thing. I feel like I could see you doing this.
But tell me more.
Mike does this thing where when he sets goals, he doesn't tell anyone about them.
they're visible to him, invisible to everyone else.
And he crushes them consistently. Like it seems to be a foolproof plan from the outside looking in. Maybe because I don't know about the goal until it's been in process. Like maybe there are failed ones that just never surface, but it'll usually be like, oh yeah, like I've been trying to do this for the last like 3 months and it's been working. And I'm like,
news to me. You did.
Meanwhile, I'm like, the minute something enters my mind, I'm like, I will start this and then tell everyone around me.
Are your texts that are to me or more at me, not to me, with yeah. like your to-do list, punting it down. Very effective.
So one of the things I've really been trying, and I haven't said it out loud because it's just so unrealistic, is like knowing that I'm going to have a second child. I feel like if I don't get my shit together about being on time now, it will literally never happen.
It will eat you alive.
I'm like, listen, I'm going on 34 years. I'm going on 35 years of never being on time. So there's a certain part of me that, you know, accepted that about myself and, you know, we do the best we can.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm really just trying to make a conscious effort, like when I can, to really just be more intentional about like why I'm being late. Like, are you being realistic with the amount of time that you need to do this?
Correct.
And so much of that is from your coaching and modeling over these past few years.
Your attention within the given amount of time that you have.
Correct. So, it's just been like very top of mind for me. And when I can, trying to be more intentional about that. And this weekend, I was leaving to go meet my girlfriends down the shore for lunch.
Oh, yes. How was that?
It was great. It was great. It was so lovely to see. I was with Court and Beck, just a quick little girls got together before Beck has baby number two.
Yay.
She's due at the end of the month. So just wanted to get that girl time in before the postpartum bubble begins as we know it. So yeah, I was getting my car and I put it into the GPS, which I didn't need to do because I knew exactly where I was going. But put it in just to be like, how late am I going to be? But I knew, like I was running on time.
You know.
And yeah. I was supposed to be there at 12:30. And the GPS said 12:23.
Shut the front door.
And I was like, oh, who is she?
She's a year early.
Literally. And then I'm like, okay, let's bring it a step further of the growth. Second week in a row. I had intentions to go to Rook, my favorite coffee place.
Oh, yum. Yes.
Down there. Like, I intentionally did not have coffee that morning. I had a few sips at the diner. But, like, other than that, did not have anything because I wanted Rook.
Natural and consequence, too. If you didn't make it, you weren't getting your coffee.
Correct.
Yeah.
However, I saw 12:23. And old Melissa would have been like, perfect amount of time. And then been 15 minutes late. But I was like, realistically, 7 minutes is not enough time to stop in another town to get a cup of coffee. get back in your car, and then still arrive on time.
No.
It took like the exercise of like thinking it through for me to even realize that, which that's how deep rooted this is.
This is humongous growth. False confidence rebranded to realistic confidence. Mm-hmm. And now you're on time.
So I did what I had to do, not what I wanted to do.
Ooh, and that's a big one too.
I went to a Starbucks drive-thru instead. That was literally on the way. Like I was about to pass it as I was having this internal monologue. And I'm like, okay, it's not the coffee you want, but you still need something if you're not going to fall asleep at lunch. So
and you had time for that. I had time for that.
I arrived at 12:30 on the dot. We were all arrived within moments of each other. And yeah, it felt really good. So anyway, long-winded as always.
No, but now 2.0.
I have been trying to be intentional about being on time. And it's forcing me to do a lot of pre-planning and a lot of thinking through and visioning and visualizing, I guess I should say.
You're picturing your future self. You're having some implementation language to go along with that forecasting, which also helps you see like the bigger impact. And when you do add another wolf to your pack, the impact is quite large when you are late.
And if anything, like setting myself up in this way will just get me back to the baseline I was before.
Right.
And not that much later.
Right. You're not going to miss the surprise at the surprise party. You just, you know, might be a couple of minutes late to the pre-wire.
No, I literally had a surprise party this weekend and it said, if you are, it literally said in the invitation, if you arrive after 6:50, please text so-and-so to let them know so like we can tell you to come or not. When I tell you we walked in the door at 6:49.
You didn't need to text.
No, I didn't need to text.
You got there.
I didn't need to text. I also know like we were, and I said this to the wife once they got there. I was like, I feel like we're kind of fringy enough that if he saw us, it wouldn't have been a giveaway.
Oh, Mal and Mike are here too.
Yeah, like we're in Marstown. Like he just think we're getting dinner. It would not have been a giveaway by any means. So I weighed that risk.
Yeah, yeah. That was prudent of you. But you still made it and you didn't have to text.
Made it in time. There's plenty of time. They didn't come for probably 10 or 15 minutes.
Wow. I just want to be very, very intentional about marking these growth points for you. These are milestones. And we have them documented and recorded in our
archives. How have you grown this week, Michelle? Enough about me.
Actually, I've been like so flexible. I know.
That's bigger than being on time for me.
I've also just been like chilly, chill, chill.
I would love to hear more.
Okay. So you know that I've said this before of like, what's that, the song? Like when it's good, it's so, so good. And when it's bad, it's so, so bad. What is that? Last Dance? I might be conflating. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm familiar with Last Dance. I'm not familiar with that part of it, but. Tell me more.
When it's bad, it's so, so bad. Come on.
No. It's not registering. I don't doubt that that could be a part of it. But
okay.
Like.
So we're going to have to put a pin in what song that is because I'm not sure. Okay. But my new phrase that I've just been leaning on is like when it's good, it's so, so good. And when it's bad, it's so, so bad. So for example, we went up and visited my bestie in Rhode Island this weekend, Katie, and her husband, Todd, who was on the pod, and their daughter. And our trip was very early Saturday morning. The boys have never gotten out of the house as fast as they did on Saturday morning. They were so excited. It was so great. That's amazing. Amazing. But like juxtaposed to when it is hard getting out of the house, like when it's good, it's so, so good. I was like, this is... We could do this. Like, let's go. But then when it's bad and you're, you know, crying and no one wants to put their shoes on and this, that, like, it's so, so bad, right?
Yeah.
And the car ride was, like, easy breezy. We barely hit any traffic. Amazing. The car ride home was almost 4 hours, and they were incredible.
That's like, amazing.
It just makes it so much more enjoyable.
You're like, we should do this more often.
Yeah. Like, should we go international? Yeah. Should we go to Italy together?
Literally.
It's just when vibes are high from them, everyone else just kind of falls in and congeals into the molds. And it just, it's so, so good.
It's like, it should be the tagline to having toddlers.
Yes.
Because there's zero in between. Like, quite literally, there is zero in between with toddlers. It's when it's good, it's so, so good.
So, so good.
And when it's bad, it's so, so bad.
Come on, baby. I need to know what song it is now.
I still have no idea. And you're not helping me.
I'm not. I'm going to circle back and it's going to hit.
Yes,
it'll
it
hit. But it's hit. Just, it. When vibes are high, everyone shows up. And of course, there's going to be, you know, some wrinkles, some tears.
Yeah.
We're constantly monitoring. And Katie and Todd's little girl, she just turned 3. So we're talking like a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old, almost 5-year-old. Like, we're monitoring that this is available now. This is not available now. Oh, switch time. It's like constant.
Yeah.
But it's just so fun to co-parent with your best friends for a weekend. And yeah, when it's good, it's so, so good. So
that's,
she was
amazing.
Chill. We rode the wave, and it was so much fun.
How did schedules go with like all of that? Is it getting easier now that the youngest is getting a little bit older? We can be a little bit more resilient on that end.
Yes, he can hang for a little bit longer. Like, if he skips a nap, well, actually, no. If he skips a nap, it's absolutely terrible.
I don't even know what that means.
A nap.
No, I know. I'm saying, oh. Like, that wasn't even on my radar as an option.
Oh,
I meant so, more it's... so, like, he doesn't go down at 12:00.
Right. Yeah, so I would say come like 2.5 to 2.75, if it's right, you could skip the nap for the day and do an earlier bedtime. And that could work, mm-hmm. if, you know, you're reading the situation.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, but like, he went down a little bit later and he didn't even whimper. Like,
yeah.
He's in a new place, a new room, a new pack and play, and he was a champ. I'm like,
great.
When it's good, it's so, so good.
Yeah.
Because if it was bad,
yeah,
woof. But yeah, it was, we were flexible. We were tired when we got home, but like, mm-hmm. you know, we were riding. It was great.
And then it's Monday.
See ya. And we're off to school. And I do have to say, though, I almost like pulled out my phone and did like a little narrative record. I get a little bit sad dropping them off these days.
On Mondays or every
yes,
day?
Yes. I'm just a little emotional, I think, all the time. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, more on Mondays. I'm like, I really miss you.
I know. I think did you feel that way after Memorial Day weekend? When
yeah.
everyone was sick? You did?
Yeah, which is so weird.
That's so sweet. I'm not going to even like,
know.
That's amazing.
It's just like, I think when your littlest gets a little bit older and your oldest becomes even more independent
to
the point where I'm like, yeah, you can go upstairs and hang. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to be down here folding laundry. Like, you're just kind of living in your silos and then you come together.
Yeah.
There's this like readjustment of, we're just living our lives and like, that's kind of cool.
I know. And emotional, I'm sure. I think we're still very much so in the trenches of like, when it's good, it's so, so good. And when it's bad, so, so bad. And because my daughter's been in full-time care pretty much forever, she has adjusted really well to like needing that in her schedule.
Yeah.
And she's really excited to go to school on Mondays. And as a result, like by the time Sunday night comes, even the best of the night weekends, like she's kind of ready. Like she's like, okay, like I'm good. I want to go see my friends. And she'll even say, like, she'll get excited about it. Like we talk about it on Sunday night before bed and she's excited.
So cute.
And I know there will be a time where that changes, probably when the baby comes and the baby doesn't go to school with her. But I think right now, it's easy for us all to be like pumped up on Monday morning because like everyone is pumped up on Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. Like if there's pushback from the kid, it sets the tone and spikes your cortisol.
Yeah, for sure.
In so many ways. So such a good point. But you just, you know, they change so quickly. And each day, while it feels the same, mm-hmm. it's not.
I know.
It's not. And before
oh
you know it, Like, they're on the potty by themselves, and they're calling your name to help wipe.
I was thinking that the other day, like, she was cuddling with Mike, and I had, like, this, like, heart-wrenching just, like, moment where I was like, she'll never be this little again. Like, tomorrow, she won't be this little again. And I was like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Wait, I have a story to go along with this.
Yes.
Beautiful theme. So, in our backyard, we have, like, a corner of our house where the patio, like, the sliding glass door meets our roof. And these birds built a nest in the corner.
Oh, wow.
And they just hatched eggs. Oh, and God. We can hear these baby birds.
No.
And I'll be, like, outside playing with the boys. And I'll just hear them. And I'll see the mom and the dad. Or the mom and the mom and the dad bird. Like, go get or inclusive birdies here. I just see them going and getting, like, food and worms to bring to their little babies. No. And their baby, like, the baby whimpers of the birds are getting louder and louder. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to leave us. They're going to leave the nest. Like, I'm thinking of the fact that the birds are going to leave the nest.
And how is that going to make the mama bird feel?
I can't. I just want to give her a hug. And then I'm like,
she wants to, like, maybe, like, go out for a drink or something. She's got to
get her pink back.
How is she?
Get your bird pink back. Should I invite her in?
Yeah. Would you like a cup of coffee? I know how hard it is.
So hard. I'm going to validate.
No, but seriously, I feel like this was something that Ryan would really, like, thrive in. You should get one of those little, like, birdie cams and, like, install it so you can watch live footage.
That's so hysterical.
We really should.
And we should live stream it next to our bird feeder in our kitchen. We have the little birdhouse. Oh, my God. I'm so emotional. And, like, I can't stop thinking about the parallels between, like, my boys and those birds leaving the nest.
Jesus Christ.
I was telling Ryan about it while we were, like, watching the boys gallivant in the backyard. And he's like, you need to stop thinking and feeling. Like, put it on pause. It's too much.
Put it on a shelf. I'm dead.
Put it on a bird nest.
I'm dead. No, I think your thoughts and your feelings are so beautiful.
Thank you. And you should keep feeling them deeply.
They're all valid. Oh. But, like, when you're – maybe there are some days you don't need to lean into it and just, like, close the
door. Let it happen. Let them do their thing. But teachers know lies. You build them up so they can fly.
That's right.
As hard as it is.
That being said, what are we taking on today
on Melissa Rose, Two Truths, No Lies, which is a huge ism of our space.
We love it. We love to see it. We are – dedicating an entire episode to Two Truths, No Lies. And how fun is that? It's the first time we've ever done it instead of just having a little intro with it.
Yeah, we're not going to share ours today, even though I kind of just shared one.
Yeah, literally.
But we got a bunch of story box shares from Two Truths, No Lies. I just feel like I hear my friends and some fringe friends note this, like, oh, this was such a Two Truths, No Lies moment. And it just rolls right off the tongue.
It really does.
So we have some Two Truths, No Lies that we're going to share, and then we'll just, like, talk about it and share our take.
Love it.
Amazing. Should we dive in?
I think we should dive in. It's a, like, Q&A. Not Q&A. It's a, like, a Dear Toasters, if you will.
What is this called for us? How shall we brand it? M take? We might have to circle back.
We're going to have to circle back. But right now, it's just... we're taking on your Two Truths, No Lies.
Exactly. And you let us know what this segment should be called.
Yeah, there we go.
Great. Okay, so the first one. I love cooking for my family, and I also love ordering out and skipping the cleanup.
Period. What else is there to say?
That is so stinking relatable.
Yeah. I think especially with that, we talked about this a few episodes ago, but... the whole idea of, like, even on the nights where it's your carved out night, because we have similar schedules and that our husbands aren't home for dinner every night. And you want to be really intentional on the days that they are to, like, cook a nice meal and do the whole thing. have everyone together. And like sometimes it's just nice to not. And then you can get more time, whether it's with the family or with your partner afterwards, because you're not cleaning up and you're not doing the mental load of preparing. And it just shows up. You set the table, you clear it back off, and you're done.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It really like allows you to not run around like a chicken without a head.
Truly.
All over. And then just like the fires of putting out, like, what are the children doing when you're trying to like make this nice meal? Mm-hmm. It just dawned on me. I think maybe we should carve out a little space to brand our Two Truths No Lies and define it, because we didn't do that before diving in.
Oh yeah, let's
in.
Do it. Let's right? do it.
There yes. might be people who are listening that are new to us. Mm-hmm. And our Two Truths No Lies is really like our conceptualization of two conflicting or competing thoughts or feelings or ideas that we carve out a space for to exist at the same time. It's our permission slip to say, yep, these two things exist. I love cooking for my family. And I also love ordering out and skipping the cleanup.
Exactly. It's also a vehicle for you to kind of dive a little bit deeper onto why you're thinking you need to have a backup to that, right? So as we were just listening to this one, I'm thinking in my head, at baseline, so relatable, period, done. But also, listener who submitted that, take a moment to reflect upon like why that sticks out to you as a true truth no lies. And like, is it an expectation you have on yourself that you need to be cooking dinner for your family every night, and that there's something taboo about like not wanting to and wanting to do takeout instead? And like, where are those expectations and beliefs coming from, and giving yourself, to your point, a permission slip to be like, both are great.
Yes.
Both is feeding your family. Both
done.
Is
goal.
Honestly, giving yourself what you need in that moment. So if you are enjoying cooking that dinner, and we're not going to enjoy cooking dinner every night. And sometimes I don't enjoy getting takeout. It's just what we have to do because maybe we're out and about that day and we don't have any groceries.
Right.
But like leaning into that, and maybe it is just surface. But if not, like explore that. Why do you feel like you have to have that second belief on the other side, if that makes sense?
Oh my God. Yeah. Amazing. And like we always enjoy diving deeper. Our home is an organization, as our dear friend Eve Rodsky always reminds us, right?
Yep.
And so a Two Truths No Lies like this, diving deeper, if your home is an organization, what systems are in place for you to be more present as it relates to what days are you going to prioritize the cooking? What day or days are you going to prioritize the ordering out? And if that is going to allow you more space, whether it's like a self TLC post bedtime, I'm going to sit and do nothing because you're ordering that day, amazing. Or is it because, you know, you want just you and your husband or you and your partner dinner without having the extra added lift? Figure out what that looks like on a more granular level, and it just helps the weeks go by more seamlessly.
Couldn't agree more. It's ironic because I was just saying this last night. I don't know about you. I guess it's a little different because the kiddos are already home when you're cooking dinner. But for me, on the nights, at least when my husband's home, typically like we're cooking while she's getting picked up by the other person, right?
Right.
Or I'm cooking prior to picking her up from school.
Right.
So last night, it was a little ambitious. I was like, you know what? I had already pre-planned this, but was like, I want to do chicken parm, like true chicken cutlets, chicken parm, and a Caesar salad. Like it was just something I was craving.
Salvation.
And I knew that was going to be like a little bit more of a cooking endeavor than it would be on a typical Monday night. Mm-hmm. So I got downstairs in time, like right as Mike was leaving to go get our daughter. And I'm like doing the whole thing, the egg wash, like everything, like the flour, boop, 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 boop. And it was feeling good. Like, as we talked about at the beginning of the episode, I felt like I was like really moving through it in a proper fashion and running on time. But like, as I got, it was like Top Chef status, like as I started to get closer and closer to the time, cause I get a notification that like she's been checked out of school. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I got 15 minutes, like, mm-hmm. let's go. I'm like starting to like sweat. And I realized like, this is probably what like a 1950s housewife felt like ahead of 5 p.m. when her husband's gonna walk in the door. But like, it's ahead of my toddler getting home. Like, if this was just Mike and I, I'd be like, it's not ready yet. Or I'd be like, we're gonna eat later.
Sit down.
Like, with her, I'm like, I need to get this ready to go, because the minute she walks in the door, the timer goes off and I want to eat my chicken parm while it's hot and I don't want to heat it up later. And just, we started this thing where we do appetizers now. She's like an appetizer. She has a plate of cucumbers with salt. It's her new
so
thing.
So cute.
So that's like on the thing. And she comes in and she like looks. She goes, where's my dinner? And I was like, your cucumbers and salt are at the table whenever you're ready. She's like, okay.
Boss and, like, is here.
Over. She's scary. But yeah, I was like, the fact that I'm sweating like a 1950s housewife, but not because of my husband, because of my daughter. You do have dinner on the table when she walks in.
2025 house mom.
Literally. Oh my God. Anyway.
That's so funny.
Apropos to the two truths and a lie.
And actually, wait, that gives me a space, because again, we love to dive deep, right? Like, knowing what meals you can just kind of set and forget, whether it's like in the oven, ding, and then comes out and you're good.
Yeah.
Or the ones like the chicken parm that we know like takes a little bit more time. Tacos for me, like, because I want to make the pico de gallo. I want to make the guacamole. Jeez, you know, it's a whole thing. Like, what days are best for those meals, depending on the before, during, and after? It's a whole mental load, but it makes your life easier if you get granular and think about it.
100%. We need to do a podluck episode.
Yes, we do.
Pod, like, we're obsessed. So funny. Mastermind. Yeah. That was you. But we need to do a podluck episode where we can, like, really walk through those things, because I'm so inclined to just dive into, like, how I mentally prep for that. But
yeah,
instead, I can't wait. Especially with the both of us and how, like, our schedules again are similar in that we don't have support a lot ahead of that, and then we have to balance like what meals are we cooking pre like husband getting home from work, which ones are we saving till later. Like, it really is like a juggle on what to do on which night. So
totally obsessed. I am putting pin in it and putting it up there on the master app list for sure.
What do we have next?
Okay,
two true lies.
I want my partner to help, and I want to do it all by myself because it feels easier.
Oh, yeah. I hear you, girlfriend. Assuming
hot takes.
It's a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? I do think it was a female who put this in, and a non-female.
Mm-hmm. What is your initial reaction to that?
Why do you want to do it all by yourself? Mm-hmm. And why does it feel easier? Mm-hmm. Is it because of your expectations of what something should look like and feel like and be like? Because then that's more of a you problem.
Yeah.
Than a him problem. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's like my first take. I always go there first, but I recognize that that might not be the most helpful answer.
I know. And I think, so listen, as we talk about so often, and I go back to this all the time from one of our first guests, Lauren, or our first guest, motherhood softens those sharp edges, right? And over the years, I have gone from hyper, type A, control freak, I am the only one that can do this the way that it needs to get done, to pretty much a 180 from there of like, if as long as it's getting done, I don't give a flying F who does it. Like, because I can't be in 100 places at once.
You're one person doing
you're
the
one
best
person
you can.
And you have to care a little bit less about certain things to care a little bit more about others.
Yeah.
Now, there's still things I am not willing to delegate. And there's still things that are hard for me when I have to delegate to delegate, because I just want it done a certain way. And those are the things that I continue to hold close to my chest. But that list has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller over time. So again, like, to your point, I would really just say to this person, you know, it's okay to want to things to be done a certain way. I think there's a lot of us that feel that way. Maybe do an exercise of exploring what those things are and like what's most important to you, that it gets done exactly the way you want to do it and it's easier that way. And what are some things that maybe we can explore? They might not do it the way you would, but they do it well enough. There's also the added layer of this that like we'll never know, in that like who is on the other side of this partnership, and are they willing to come to the table and have these conversations, and are they willing to jump in those ways? Again, it might not be the way that you would do it,
right?
But give yourself an opportunity to maybe see the other side where you can, because what comes with that flip side of that two truths and lies is resentment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's not now, it will be eventually. Yeah. Because the list is going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
So as that list grows and evolves, ask yourself how you can grow and evolve with it within your partnership. Because it's so valid. It is so hard to delegate because sometimes it is just easier. But as that list grows and grows and grows, it's going to become harder and harder and harder. And you are the one that's going to suffer the most as a result of that, followed by your relationship, followed by your family system.
Yes, that's a great takeaway. Like, what are the top three non-negotiable ones that you will hold close?
Yeah.
The other tasks can then be aligned with, okay, you want your partner to help. So think about, how do you want your partner to help? And how does your partner want to help too?
Yeah, great point. This isn't a one-way street.
Mm-mm. So thinking of the things you hold close and then those two questions will allow you to have a conversation about, okay, what are these things? And is that easy now that it's out from underneath the surface?
And it might take trial and error. The amount of times that Mike and I have gone back and forth just in the past 2 years when it comes to parenting and the shuffle of what our life looks like and trying this and it not working out so well, it doesn't mean that they're not trying or you're not trying. It's just, you know, it takes a few times for something to stick.
Yeah. And I think the reality of knowing that there's usually one of you that's a primary parent. Mm-hmm. It's just from a time perspective how often you're with them versus not with them. Mm-hmm. It's like a fact of there's going to be a default because someone's around more than the other day to day.
In most cases,
right. So having all of these kind of circulate around this will help.
Yeah.
Or not. Or this is just going to be a two truths, no lies that lives.
Exactly. And so be it.
So be it. It'll change.
Yeah.
It'll change. Okay. Oh, this is good. I love this.
Me too. Keep them coming.
It's fun. It's like a fishbowl. Because I feel like people come to us for advice because we're such wise older sisters.
I know.
And this is like really leaning into that.
It really is.
The big sister energy.
Big sister energy.
Okay, the next one.
Yeah.
This one really resonates with me. I love playing with my kids, but I also hate playing the same thing every single time.
Period.
It's so hard when you're like in the need to disassociate while you're actively engaged in play, which is like the most important and efficacious way that we know kids learn language and social skills, etc. But it takes so much mental energy and attention from you.
It's the older they get too, right? Like it's, I mean, it all can be a bit mind numbing from the beginning, honestly. But
here we go.
It's so real. It's so real. And period, that's it. There's no, like, we are, you and I, are in our mid-30s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want to play cars or horsey or Spidey. Mommy, I want to make you ice cream for 4 hours. Like, right. No, because we're not there. But it also comes with the territory.
Yes. Yeah.
And we don't need to get into the whole, oh, but they're not going to ask me to play this. Because you know what? Like, quite frankly, when she's asking me to go shopping and like go to a One Direction concert instead, like I will enjoy that more. Yes. So like I'm not like I'll miss this time, but I'm not going to miss that. And I think there's like, just because you're going to miss a period doesn't mean you're going to miss everything about it.
Oh, truth. Truth. Done.
And so it's okay when you're in the moment to be like, no, I probably won't miss this. I'll miss them wanting to play with me.
Yes.
But I'm not going to miss sitting on the floor when I'm 21 weeks pregnant and my back hurts and, you know, whatever. I'll miss the period, but I'm not going to miss that 30 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back.
I also love your take on the permission slip to say, like, not everyone is a newborn parent. I don't need to like this part.
Yeah.
Not everyone is toddler parent. I don't need to like this part. That's okay.
Yeah, it is.
That's okay. It's such a permission slip. So I love your take on that, because when you're playing, you know, baseball for the 50th time that day, like, it's actually okay for your kid to hear no.
It's okay.
They need to. Need to hear, no, not right now in my responsibility landscape. I have to go change the laundry. And then if I'm done with that and I have some time and I want to play, I'll let you know.
Pick up all of those. There are three layers to that.
Wants versus needs. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love a good teaching moment.
No, truly. I saw this thing recently. It's actually been wildly effective with my daughter. I saw it on Instagram. Instead of saying no to something, say ask me again after blank.
Yeah, love that.
And it's teaching them the way it was described, like teaching them to also like understand like the sequencing of events and like how to anticipate and like be like, oh, okay, like let's move through these things together.
Yeah.
And rather than just, you know, for example, if she wants 2 more minutes on the timer to read another book, but we're supposed to be putting our diaper on or whatever it might be, say, ask me again after we put on our diaper.
Love that.
Ask me to read the book again after we put on our diaper.
Yeah, it's cause and effect.
It's been really, really effective with her. And that means, you know, 50% of the time, but it's been 0%, which is how I was feeling a little bit recently. So you could do the same thing with like playing a game. Right. Yeah. Like to your point, like ask me again after I finish the laundry. And if I have time, I am happy to come and play with you.
Yeah. It sheds light on the impact, too. Like we're not, you know, dilly dallying over here. We want to have fun. And we also have things on our responsibility landscape that in reality, if they don't get done, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. If I don't make dinner, no one has food.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a llama book, Llama Llama Mess Mess Mess.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's great. It's all, we love Llama Llama here.
Oh, we love Llama Llama. You know, they have a show, right?
Oh, yeah. We need it to come back. I think it like never came back after COVID. And it's very sad.
No.
There's only 2 seasons.
Oh.
And they're from like 2020 or 2021. I think it was just
so
like
great.
It's so great.
Stimulating. It's just very calming.
We love, love, love. But Llama Llama Mess 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 is Llama's playing and doesn't want to clean up his toys, and Mama Llama comes upstairs and says like, we have to clean today, today's cleaning day. And then it's all about like, what if Mama Llama didn't clean, or what if Mama Llama didn't do the dishes, what if Mama Llama just played and never, you know, whatever. And it goes through all the things, and like the house is a mess and there's no dishes to eat off of, and all of that stuff. So
I really
like that one.
Impact. I always come back to that, like, what's the impact if we didn't?
Exactly.
And then, of course, it's always a balance, the fine line of like, you don't want to get too caught up in the what if spiral, because I've seen that on the other side with kids.
That's
too
fair.
And internally for myself. Yeah. But I'll name that. Like, we don't want to go down this what if so much, but we do like to at least think 1 or 2 steps ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
And then cut it.
Yeah.
Cut the cord.
Why?
Okay. The next one is going to elicit a very good convo, because it's pertinent and extra germane for you. I'm a new second-time mom. I love my new baby and couldn't imagine life without her. But I really miss it when it was just one of them. Is that bad?
No, not at all. It's so real. I want you to dive into it because you've been there. But it's something I'm constantly emotionally backseating myself about, because I just know it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's this oscillation between you can't imagine your life without the new baby, and you also are going to miss the moments when it was just you and your firstborn. And it gets a little bit easier as they get older. And as their personality multiplies and everything else multiplies, it also gets harder too.
Yeah.
But I always come back to my oldest son right now, who, when I ask him if he remembers life without his little brother, he'll say no, he's always been here.
It's important to remember.
Yeah, it's a good memory, because they're fine. They're good. It's you that needs to emotionally vaccinate and acknowledge that that probably is going to come and go in some capacity. And then over time, you cement into this new routine that one day isn't new anymore. Mm-hmm. And you're in the swing of, you know, being a mom of two.
Exactly. The last part of their question, like, is that bad?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of Two Truths and Lies, right? Like, yes. It's not bad. None of this is bad. It's real. It's vulnerable. And it's something that most, if not all, people in your situation probably feel at a certain
Did
point.
You just hear my stomach? I'm sorry. No. So loud. It's grumbled so loud. No, I had some cheese before.
That's it? That's probably why your stomach's grumbling. Grumbling.
Like, I'd be shocked if the microphone didn't pick that up. Sorry.
No, I didn't hear it at all.
We don't have to cut that out because it's kind of funny. But anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, like it's the reality, period.
It is.
It's the reality.
It's not bad. It's, you're feeling it. So if you're feeling it, that it gives you permission to cut off that is it bad line at the end.
Exactly.
It's okay to feel it and it's real to feel it. And I do want to do a reflect a clock on transitioning from one to two because it will be extra mm-hmm. pertinent for you. But I have this new way of thinking about it as it relates to like the concepts of multiplication. I really want to take that on for you and for other people listening, but also like for me to kind of conceptualize it too, of just like the multiplication of everything when you're transitioning to becoming a new mom, but especially from one to two. So we'll do a reflect a clock episode about that soon.
Yeah, no, I would love that. I think thinking about it constantly from our first episode, like all the things and being mindful of the transitions and like not having too many things piled up on top of each other and the language and like everything. But all based on memory from our conversation, I really do need to go back and listen. Before we move on from this, though, I think it's so important to recognize that wishing that you could or missing the just being with the one has many different layers to it,
yeah.
Right? It's not just as simple as like that child, like just missing your time one-on-one with that child, but it's also like everything environmentally that changes as a result of having to balance two and like yes. just maybe wanting to miss the simplicity of that maybe you didn't appreciate prior.
Yeah.
Totally valid, yeah. Right? Just like sometimes when you have your first, you may miss the simplicity of just being you and your husband or just being you and your partner, just being you and the dogs. Like that is a thought and a feeling that is completely separate than your love and adoration and everything related to that child.
Yeah.
So exactly how it's phrased, I love this baby so much and I cannot imagine life without her. And sometimes I miss when it was just, those are two completely different things.
It's so true.
It doesn't, so it's not true. A cause and effect where now that tarnishes the way you feel or have thoughts about that child. It's just two completely different things that are conflicting with each other in that yes. moment and can create this kind of turmoil of conflicting emotion mm-hmm. because you feel like it's bad to think that.
Yes, you have to be so intentional about undoing those thoughts and
exactly.
letting them sit on two very stark truths, which is the whole point of Two Truths and a Lies.
Exactly.
And that actually dovetails really nicely into our last one because it kind of is a catch-all to it.
Love it.
You can grieve a stage of your life and be ready for the next chapter. Mic drop. Yeah.
Mic drop. It's
so true.
We just talked about it, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a part of evolving and growing.
And you're not going. It's almost like I often say this to you and to myself, like, if you didn't grieve a stage of your life, it would be weird.
Yeah, 100%. It's a loss. It's a loss of the person you were before. It's a loss of maybe the place in your life you were before. As we evolve and change, there's things that look differently than we thought we would, and we have to grieve with that, even if it's not something particularly profound or upsetting, like just simple as, oh, I thought, you know, at 35 something would look one way and it's a different way and I love this way,
right?
But like there's so many things over the course of a lifetime that you're going to grieve, and not grieving it is actually like the worst thing that you could do.
Because it's just stuffing it away. And I think we talked about this a little bit with Alana. Like, you just don't really know when you're in it until you're out of it. And then you're like, oh, wow, that was great.
Yeah.
Or we had it so good. Stress is stress. Hard is hard. Tired is tired. And if you're not taking a moment to recognize that two of these things really are always going to exist, you're going to miss something. And you're going to be ready for the next. Mm-hmm. And when you know that that's just always going to ebb and flow, don't let it surprise you so much that you're going to grieve the stage and be ready for the next. Just expect it.
100%. It's. I love that we're ending on this one. I have a little tiny anecdote from this weekend. At that surprise party, most of the people that were there, it's like neighborhood friends. I say majority of them are likely like done having children, and their youngest is probably my daughter's age or older, right? Okay. So they're like, we're in the same phase of life, but like acutely kind of different right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And being around them is refreshing in some ways of seeing kind of like not what's on the other side when you have like middle schoolers and high schoolers, because like that's too hard for me to think about right now, but like a hop and a skip on the other side.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And just like, even like the little things that they're talking about or how the kids interact, and like there's like intramurals and school and little like crushes and boyfriend girlfriends of like their children, and but they're in like elementary school, you know, just like all the cute little things, and seeing how their relationships have kind of flourished as a result of that, and just all the dynamics. You know me, like I can't just like go to a function and just like take anything for surface value, but
gotta get deep.
The whole thing. So I was talking to my younger brother about this the next day, and he was like, you know, I actually love hanging out with people a few years older than us for that reason, because they're in the phase right before having children. They're married. They don't have any kids yet. They have a dog. So they're like just on that that line, I guess. And he's like, you know, I love like hanging out with Mike because it actually gives a perspective of like so many people that haven't had kids yet are like so afraid that like their life is going to end effectively.
Yeah.
And it's really energizing to be around people who like don't hate their lives and like have done what you're going to be doing next. So and are true. Like doing cool things and enjoying life. And like, is it different? Yeah, but like it's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the juxtaposition of like the other side of that two truths and lies of like being here and grieving what's there, but also like there's the looking forward to what's next.
Yeah.
As another prong to that. And if you're feeling a little like brought down by the other half of that green, like maybe like do an exercise of like, what are we having to look forward to? Because maybe this time right now is your like, I don't think I'm a newborn mom, or like, I don't think I'm a toddler mom. Then like, let's look forward to like what's next.
Yeah.
And what can we put on the vision board for the next couple of years? Or like, what are some things that we can get excited about? And you know, that doesn't help in the day to day, but in general, or like hanging out with some people that maybe aren't in the trenches.
Yes.
That you are.
I love that. Perspective is everything. And it's so relatable. Samantha and I were also just talking about that too. It's like, you guys have done it. It looks pretty good. Like, mm-hmm. why is there all this fear mongering? Like, hang out with people who you know are your people, who aren't pretending that it's perfect because that's not reality, but who are positive realists and saying, yeah, you're going to miss that. And you're going to be ready for the next chapter because there's so much to look forward to in it.
Exactly.
And like, don't forget, in growing a human and in raising a human, you're hoping to be around the dinner table when they're grown-ups enjoying each other's company. That's the whole point. We brought that up before too.
That is my whole point. Like the one dinner of table. My main ones of like, wanting my kids to want to hang out with me at some point.
That's the goal.
Literally.
That's the goal. So think about that dinner table. When it's good, it's so, so good. But when it's bad,
it's so, so bad.
And you're planting those seeds to shape the future of the people that you will want to be around and who will want, hopefully, to be around you and what you've cultivated together throughout the past, you know, 18 years of their life or however long it is.
Love it.
Okay, wait, I have a very good mantra to think about, though.
Let's do it.
As it relates to Two Truths, No Lies, have you heard of the children's book, The Day the Crayons Quit? Mm-mm. What? Mm-mm. Oh, my God. I thought that was going to be a resounding, of course I have.
No, I got to get it.
Oh, I want to send it to you, but we're not supposed to send anything to each other. We're supposed to put it back into the pod.
Yeah. True, okay, but invest in ourselves.
Invest in ourselves, not in, you know, things.
Yes.
Okay, but I have an extra copy from my classroom, so I'll give you an extra copy the next time I see you.
Perfect.
It's so good. It's essentially all of the crayons in the crayon box talk about perspective taking. Yeah. They quit their jobs because they're being so overused. It's like, dear, there's this main character. I forget his name, like maybe Andrew or something. I've read it so many times. I can't believe I forgot his first name. But anyway, it's a moot point. It's like, really? The sky has to be that big that day? Sincerely, your very broken friend, Blue Crayon. Like, it's just a very funny take on like the day the crayons quit. So they created a side book off of the series called The Crayons Book of Feelings.
Oh.
It's a shorter book, but the last page, and we'll link it on one of our stories next week, the last page is this beautiful picture of one crayon with all these different colors, and it's like spewing out all of these different colors out of the crayon's head, and it says, like, you have permission to feel all different things at once. Two truths.
Many truths.
No lies. Yeah. Like, you do. You do. So let yourself. Yep.
Mm-hmm. No matter how conflicting it is, you have permission to feel it all.
Yes. You're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And we fight it as humans, but you have to fight against it to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Put a pin in it.
That's it.
That's it. Well, you all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram. Let us know what you're taking on so we can take it on with you. If any of this resonated with you, please, number one, send us your two truths for lies. We don't have to wait for an entire episode dedicated to it. You don't have to wait for a question box on Instagram. Just DM us anytime these things. Send us a voice note on DMs. We love to get those too. And let us know, you know, what comes to mind after this episode. And especially if it does resonate, please share it with anyone else that you think would find this helpful, impactful, or just, you know, a grand old time.
I love it. We're going to make this a series. It feels so good.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I really, really loved it. It was
M-takers? No, that doesn't sound right.
M-takers. No.
Sounds like fringe court.
Yeah, no. We'll find it. We'll find it.
Help us. Help us name this.
Well, yeah, we'll come up with our version of Dear Toasters as it relates to Two Truths and Lies. But
yeah.
Okay. I think that's it. I love you so much.
Love you more.
Give yourself a smooch.
Go burn. Don't burn your house down.
Don't burn your house down. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, toodles.
Bye.